Today is December 2nd of 2012. I have a message that's entitled, I Am the Bread of Life. John 6, 22 through 40 is the text. And essentially, I Am the Bread of Life is a conversation between the crowd and the Lord Jesus. So that's the way this section of the Bible turns out. It's what the crowd says, what the Lord says. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it and then make some comments. So here's where it starts in verse 22. The next day, the crowd that stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it and his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near that place where the people had eaten the bread of the Lord and given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And the industry of that neighborhood is they're ferrying 5,000 people at least from about 10 miles. And in the Jewish economy, none of that's for free. It's kind of interesting the way they did that. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give us that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who had given the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives to me and come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he had given me, but raise them on the last day. Verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son, believes on him, shall have eternal life and be raised them up on the last day. So, here's the crowd. This time of year, we're rather familiar with crowds and how they act, don't we understand that? I looked at some of the Black Friday stuff that went on, and as I began to think how crowds act today and how crowds acted then, there's really not a lot of difference when you're with the crowd. It's essentially the same. So the first thing, A on your outline, where? Where is Jesus? And that's a typical crowd question. What? Where have you been? Where did you buy that? Where? I mean, that's a typical crowd question. Where? And they asked, where is Jesus? So, if I make that personal, where is Jesus in your life this year? What place does Jesus have in your life? Where is he? Is he first place? Is he second place? Does the snowman and the candy canes in the front yard take precedent over Christ? Where is he in your life? And do you look and act just like the rest of the crowd? Or this season, your life, does it look different than somebody who's just in the crowd? B on your outline, when is your blank? When did you get here, Jesus? And that's the same that the crowd will ask now. Well, how long have you been waiting in line for this iPhone? When did you get here? That's a typical crowd question. and to make it personal. So when did Jesus and the Holy Spirit get into you? When did that happen? Is there a point in time that you could say, before this, God was separate from me, but when that happened, Jesus came into my life, the Holy Spirit came into my life, and my life has never been the same since. When did that happen for you? If it's just a gradual possession, transition of time, that you just say, well, you know, Jesus has kind of always been here, you know how it is with God. There should be a time when you personally invited the Savior of the world into your life. Are you one who knows Jesus is personally? And how is he affecting your life today? How does that interaction of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in your life, how does that impact you personally today? See on your outline, what must we do? So, where, when, what? Any religion is about what you do to get to God. And Christ Jesus is talking about a living relationship with him. It's not what you do, but it's him with you, you with him, living this life. D on your outline, what will you do? What? And can you even believe they asked that question? They had seen Jesus over a year, heal the sick, raise the dead, the blind see, the lame walk. He had just fed 5,000 people with a boy's lunch. And still, they're asking him, well, what are you going to do next? Which is the crowd thing. It's always more, more, more. Give me more. That's the crowd thing. And E on your line, give us. Your blank is us. Give us bread. The bottom line with the crowd is, give us something. And in this time of year where we celebrate Christmas in the culture we live in, this is really not different. Give me something. Do something special for me. But it's all about giving to me rather than the way God does it. So the question and the conclusion of the crowd is, are you one of the crowd or are you one with Jesus? That's the deal. Do you stand out in the crowd? Does your life look different? So then we have the conversation with the Lord Jesus. A on your outline is do not work for things that perish. Not is your blank. The Lord Jesus says do not work for the stuff that perishes. So what's on the do not work for list? It looks like the holiday to-do list, doesn't it? Food, drinks, what you're going to wear. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? How much you're going to get? That's the stuff that Jesus says, do not work for that. Don't work for the perishable things, the external things, the temporal things. Do not work towards that, brothers and sisters. Are there people that we know that focus on that this time of year? The stuff? The perishable stuff? You know, in my family, we've come to the conclusion we really don't need anything. So the gift giving is going to be dramatically different this year. We're going to try not to focus on the things, the stuff, the deals, the gifts, but try to keep our focus essentially on Christ. My neighbor has a sign that says Jesus is the reason for the season. And I think oftentimes even those of us who call ourselves Christians tend to get distracted by that other stuff and not stay focused on him. So, one is to work for eternal things, internal things, spiritual things. And how does one do that work? You know, invisible things? Here's how you do it. B, the work is to believe. That's it. Jesus said, that's the work that you do in relationship with me, is you believe in me. So I got to thinking, is Jesus' job really so different than ours? Jesus the man, Jesus the Son of God, was his job really that much different than yours and mine? Isn't essentially what he needed to do was to trust and believe in his spiritual Father? When he did all of these miracles, when he walked on the water, fed the 5,000, didn't he pray and give thanks? Isn't his job as a man essentially the same as yours and mine? Jesus is a giver. And this time of the year, I want you to be reminded, I want me who needs to be reminded, that Jesus is a giver. I should be a giver. And what I should try to give is not physical, tangible things. When you looked at our missions and budgets, we give a lot of physical, tangible things to people. And the hope is that that will open the door for the spiritual. Their needs need to be met. I mean, we need to go over a budget. The mechanics of running a small Christian business is important. But what's really important is to give of the spiritual life that you've been given. See on your outline, I am the bread of life. Life with a capital L. Jesus is spiritually satisfying. When Jesus said, you'll never be hungry, you'll never be thirsty, obviously when we have so many orphans in our budget, there are people who are hungry. There are people who are thirsty. There are people that we know that are dying from contaminated cholera water. And we're trying to deal with that. Jesus is not saying that you're never going to be without. There's always going to be poor. What he's saying is spiritually, your life can be full and satisfying if you believe in him, if you seek him, if you allow his resurrection life to actually be your life. So how does that play out? One is to come to Jesus. That's where you need to start. You need to come to him. Whether you've been born again for 10 years or 2 minutes, you need to come to Jesus regularly. You need to believe in him in every situation. Trust him in every situation. And you need to look to him, look for him, and express him to other people so that they could come, believe, and see the same Jesus. Essentially, he wants the world to see himself in and through you and me. So, do you look like the crowd, or do you look like Christ? D on your outline, I will never drive anyone away. Never is your blank. Jesus will never drive anyone away. When I wrote this one, I had to smile. Jesus is a keeper. He's a saver. When you come to him, he saves you and he keeps you. And he'll never drive you away. He'll never push you away. Jesus wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. He doesn't want to be a comfortable passenger. He wants to drive your life. He wants to run it. He wants to manage it through the Holy Spirit in your life. So, who is it that drives your life? Is your life driven by the things he says, do not work for these things? Is that what drives your life? Or is it the love for a redeeming God? Is it time to come back and deepen your faith and look for Jesus this Christmas? Is there a reversal, a repentance, something that needs to happen in your life? You've been so wrapped up in business. You've been so wrapped up in the problems of life. You've been so wrapped up in the Christmas season and getting the stuff and getting it all organized and getting the menus and everything. You find yourself like Martha in one of the stories where she was trying so hard to get all the food ready and her sister Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet. And she came to Jesus and said, tell my sister to help me get this temporal stuff done. And she said, no, she's really picked the better part. So essentially, you could have a Martha Christmas or a Mary Christmas. You know, which one are you going to go for? The reality is, if Martha would have sat down at Jesus' feet, he could have taken care of all of it. I mean, he could have made pizza if he wanted. He could have fixed it. He wants to do that in your life and my life, spiritually. So come back to him and let him drive. Let him drive. Let Jesus take the wheel of your life. E on your outline, I do not ever lose. Jesus says, I do not ever lose anyone. So Jesus is a winner. Whose team are you on? The crowd's team or Christ's team? And it'll show by the jersey that you wear. How you live your life will make a difference. And what I'm saying is, if you come to Jesus, if you look to Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, what happens to those people is their faith in Christ, they get resurrection life. From physical death into eternal life with God when Jesus comes again. We finished the Revelation study at our house, and it's very, very, very clear that Christ is coming back. And if what you've done fits in with His Lamb's Book of Life, you get paradise. And if it doesn't, if you're one of the crowd, chances are it's going to be eternally unpleasant. So, how does one conclude all of that? Here's what I decided. Jesus provides. He is the way to God. He is the truth of God and our spiritual life. So this Christmas season, this day, in your life, in your family, you've got to make the conscious choices to come to Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to look to Jesus, and find Him completely satisfying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your love and Your generosity. I really hope that my life, our lives, will become ones that are not just financially generous like our church is, but spiritually generous, which is the really important stuff. That we wouldn't stop giving away 35% of the money to other people, but we would find a way to give more spiritual truth, more time in prayer, more time in research of Your scriptures, more refining of our lives, more surrender of our lives to let You be in control. This day, this season, this new coming year, Father, we don't take for granted the blessings that You've given us, but we thank You for them. And we pray we would be good stewards of all blessings, not just the money and the stuff and the food, but of the spiritual blessings You've given us, we would be good stewards of that as well. We ask it all in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.